The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. We got a lot to get into this hour as well. If you missed anything, maybe you tuned in and had a run out, you want to listen to it again, go to the archives, right? Our podcasts are up at relevantradio.com. They are also available every place a podcast is held. And, you know, share with others. I mean, if you found this show, too, by the way, if you really enjoy it, tell others about it. I'm on every afternoon from 3 to 6 on the East Coast, from noon to 3 on the West Coast, 2 to 5 in the Central Time Zone, and I'll give you a look at life you won't find anywhere else. I try to do that. I try to look at the most important issues of the day and shine the light of our faith on them, shine some morality and some truth on them as well. Hey, I do want to talk, if I could, just a moment. And Peter Grandage is going to be stopping by. I always enjoy hearing from him. We'll take your calls, too. If you want to get in, it's 888-914-9149. I want to take a look at what's happening in the markets, what's happening in the economy. There's some new numbers coming out, and I got some news for you, too. We're about a week plus from a pledge drive, and I'm thinking, oh, man, is that good news for us or bad news for us, right? Well, I guess it comes down to me trusting in God, right? That's what we're going to have to do. So I'm hoping that you could be very generous when I make the appeal next week. Well, it's not next week. It's a week after that. But we do 4 pledge drives a year, right? Monday, you know, 1 in the spring, summer, winter, and fall. I should maybe reverse that order, right? Spring, summer, fall, and winter. The other sounded like a song. So it's we'll be coming to you. So if you can help, please do. I know things are tough. I know the cost of things are continuing to rise. And then you see these stories like what's happening with Silicon Valley Bank. You know, they went belly up. They passed an audit with flying colors. And what happens? The Federal Reserve even said that the bank was doing just fine. Then suddenly rumors start that major depositors were withdrawing their money from the bank because something was wrong. And a run started on it. And the Biden administration said, you know, at first, all depositors are going to be insured up to $300,000 or $250,000, whatever the FDIC limit was at the time. But then they said all depositors would be able to get their money back. And believe me, there were some big deposits in that bank. I was really surprised by that. ABC News was reporting that a new report from the Fed faults not only the leadership of SVB, but also the Fed itself. It quotes Mike, you know, it says the Fed's vice chair for supervision. He said this, quote, "The Federal Reserve supervisors failed to take forceful enough action. SVB's failure demonstrates that there are weaknesses in regulations and supervisions must be addressed." So SVB's future, or, you know, well, actually filed, its failure led to the failure of another big bank. He had Signature, and also to rumors of First Republic being on the ropes. And then First Republic seemed to have recovered. But now there are reports the FDIC will take it into receivership. And sources told ABC that the FDIC is asking other banks for potential bids on First Republic if the regulators were to seize the bank. There's still hope for the situation, but it doesn't include receivership. But that news indicates that there's something not right in the banking industry. And I thought we'll talk about that. How safe is your money, right? How safe is the banking industry? Could it point to a general weakness in the wider economy? What's the future look like? And again, I don't want to scare you. That's not what we're here to do. I'm trying to put my toe in the water, trying to take the temperature of what's going on, trying to read the winds and see what is looming in your future. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Americans have started saving again. There are now $1 trillion parked in banks. That's an amazing number. I was shocked when I saw that. But LendingTree.com is also reporting that Americans' total credit card balance, and this is a very scary number, was at $986 billion in the fourth quarter of 2022, and I guarantee you it's going to be higher in this quarter. Guarantee you that. You know, the latest consumer debt data from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, $986 billion. That is insane. It's up, it marks a $61 billion jump from the third quarter. So it's the largest quarterly increase in the report's history. What does that portend? Peter Grandage joins me today. He is the former Wall Street whiz kid, and you know him very well. He's got a great story to share. He's very honest, very open. You know, Peter struggled with depression. He was very open about that journey. I know many of you have reached out to him. He's doing much, much better. He provides guidance on matters of finance through his company. It's Peter Grandage and Company. I hope you'll check him out. The website is petergrandage.com, petergrandage.com. You can also follow him online if you'd like to and sign up for his emails and get plugged into all that's going on. And, you know, read his book. You'll learn his story. Get his emails, and you'll get some great insight. And Peter's here to share with you today, too. And we'll take a few of your calls if you want to get in. Peter, thanks for joining me. Good afternoon.
Good to Drew you. And join you, Drew. Is there a rumor that you started wearing a Jets jersey? Somebody was telling me.
Yeah, are you an Aaron Rodgers fan?
I figured you were.
You so are now, right?
I'm not much into sports anymore, but it's quite interesting how they restructured his deal in order to get him over here. It's an amazing phenomenon. A man's going to make $100-something million in less than 2 years at his age.
It's crazy. I mean, the amount of money, you know, is just insane. The Philadelphia quarterback, too, signed a huge, huge deal. But Aaron Rodgers, you know, great quarterback. He's a Hall of Famer, of course. Leaving the Green Bay Packers, of course, getting traded to the Jets. Peter, that money to me is just incomprehensible. You used to deal with big guys and lots of their money, too, didn't you? I mean, I think sometimes I'm in the wrong business. I should have played football or I should have done something. I don't know. It's amazing when you look at that.
It is one of the things that's happening from it is it's pricing out people to go to games. Tickets are just, you know, if it wasn't for the astronomical numbers that television and, of course, now streaming and all is willing to pay, it's still very tough for a regular family to go to a major sporting event these days. It's coming quite impossible to afford it. But here to go to a typical Yankee game, just for cheap seats and all, you better be prepared to spend. I mean, when beers are $24 and hot dogs are $15, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard, but that comes from, you know, the prices that they're paying pet players to play. And
I remember one time, my wife and I, we were volunteering for our church, and one of the fundraisers they did, they would go to Lambeau Field when we were living up in the Green Bay area. And we'd have a booth, and the proceeds that came from the booth, they sold hot dogs and beers and soda, whatever it was the parish had set up. They'd get a commission from it. And I remember a guy from the West Coast coming there and saying, wow, beers are only $12 here or $10, whatever it was, because he was paying probably $15 or $20 from his state. And I thought about that. I thought, yeah, you take your family to a football game. First of all, the tickets are through the roof. You can't go to a Super Bowl. I mean, that's just for the very wealthy today. But between your parking, you know, your food, your beer, or your whatever you want to drink, and the ticket price, it's not fair. It really isn't. But I don't see that changing. Do you?
No. It's still a very profitable. The three of the four major sports, all the owners do extremely well. And you know, and they're wealthy to begin with. I left the sports world because of what happened, tying social and political events into it. And I will just tell you this: basketball and football is pretty well woke. It's an everyday way there. Players that I still talk to, a handful, or coaches tell us basically you can't even think of going against the wokeness and think you would keep your job. And that's terrible, but it's not just in sports. It's throughout the corporate world right now. So unfortunately that's where it stands.
A lot's going on in the economy too. I want to get your take on that as well, but you're a Giant fan before you're a Jets fan, before we move off that, right? Just so I remember correctly.
I'm a Joe Klecko. See, so I always had this problem because I worked with both Giants and Jets, and I started out as a Jet fan, but once I started working with the Giants, it was kind of hard to work against them. But Joe Klecko, who is a devout Catholic, and maybe one day you should have him on. He's a wonderful, extremely devout Catholic, and he's finally making it into the Hall of Fame. So my argument always to people is I'm a Joe Klecko fan first and the Giants and Jets battle for second place. Yeah, but I don't really watch sports in the way I used to, just basically hockey, because hockey is the least woke of the four sports. So
that's true. Well, we'll see, too. I mean, I love Rodgers. We'll see what happens as he plays with the Jets, whether he'll take the same path as Brett Favre did. Hey, Peter, on another note, I want to talk about recession. I saw a poll that said that 4 out of 5 Americans think that we're already in a recession or we will be within a year. There was a Harvard Caps Harris poll. 49% of Americans expect the economy will be in a recession in next year. Another 39% say the economy is already in a recession. What are the signs? Where are we? What do you see coming?
Well, we're in probably a little bit of an eye of a storm right now. We've had the first go around in the financial world. We had the market, you know, come back to earth. It was, you know, was out there in Pluto for a while. We've seen the banking system. We just saw now, it's not official yet, but probably over the weekend, we're going to learn that First Republic has gone into receivership. Yeah. The amount of banking, large and small U.S. banks continue to see deposit outflows. Small banking lending growth has tumbled. And why that's important is the backbone of America's economy is small business owners. And small business owners depend on local small banks. They don't get their advancement on their dollars from the major four or five big banks. And so if small bank lending is tumbling, and I can assure you, because I hear from the clients that we have in different businesses around the country, credit is drying up very fast. We're seeing now, even in the real estate market, we've seen real estate investment trusts have to omit, suspend, or lower dividend payments. And so those things take a time to work themselves into the system. And so there's a, I like to call it right now, the eye of the storm. We have had the first wave through. It looks a little bit like the clouds aren't as bad, but I think the second levels may not be as harsh, but it's going to be a lot longer. And so recession to me is a question of when, not if. How severe it is depending still on whether the Fed stays the course on its supposed inflation fight, or does it cave again and get back to some sort of quantitative easing again. The pressures will come because as we get into the year that's more likely to see the recession, which is 2024, we're also going to be in an election year. Yeah, and the Fed really tries to tap dance through election years, especially when it's the presidential one, and not look to make any move that could be perceived as favoring one party or another. Yeah. And so since the current party in control is the Democrats, they wouldn't want to be perceived that they're somehow helping them or what have you. So there's a lot up in the air, but I still think this is not a time to be a brave soul. And being a live chicken versus a dead duck, for me anyway, and anybody that still listens, I think is the way you need to approach the financial world at this moment.
Yeah, Elon Musk, he did an interview a couple of weeks ago. I think I saw this. And he was in, like, I have a lot of respect for the guy. I think he sees things from a different perspective than most people. He says the U.S. might be on the verge of a very serious financial issue later this year. And he sees a number of factors driving that. He saw the collapse of these major banking institutions like Silicon Valley Bank. He thinks they're an indicator that that there are serious conditions on the horizon. He also says that he believes that the commercial real estate properties that have been vacated due to the pandemic, that's going to exacerbate the problems. And I was talking to somebody the other day about that. They say, yeah, a lot of these companies have leases. They no longer have people in here. When those leases are up, they're probably not going to renew them. And, you know, for a lot of banks, that was money in the bank. You know, it was considered to be a hard asset. They had a lot of value for those banks. And he warned that inflation is going to continue to get worse because, you know, the Fed won't reduce interest rates during the election year, as you were talking about. And he thinks that inflation is going to happen no matter what. What do you think of his assessment?
Well, look what's happening in big cities. We're seeing real estate sales now. We just saw a huge property in San Francisco sell for one quarter of what it was before the pandemic. We're seeing all sorts of indications that people are leaving the big cities just by looking at telephone usage, cell phone usage, all the businesses in the area that are closing. And what happens there is it really starts to create a bad series of events. Tax dollars go down in these big cities. They have to raise taxes to who remains. They have to cut services. That causes more people to leave. And then the other ingredient that didn't exist 30, 40, or 50 years ago, the lawlessness now that we're seeing in major cities.
So true.
Where people are literally just walking in and taking stuff, and people are fearful. Listen, I live about 90 minutes south of New York City, and I have a very good client that has, I think it's the second largest car service in New Jersey. And he says even though the pandemic is over and all, most people still have not gone back going into New York City out of fear. Wow. They just don't want to go there. They feel safer staying closer to home. And I think that's representative of major cities all around the country. And then in the small rural areas, which depend, as we said, on local banks and all, they're seeing credit dry up and more difficulty. But I think still the biggest problem, Drew, despite of all of this, is that four-letter word that, you know, our book of information that we should live off of, the Bible told us, is always going to cause trouble, and that's debt. We just continue to see debt piling up. We've seen all sorts of statistics recently of how many more people are required to borrow now just to pay for necessities. And because they're in the low to lower the middle income, the rates that they're being charged are anywhere from 20 to 30%. I mean, this is what we used to make fun when we were younger, Drew. That's what the mob used to charge as a loan shark. And now those are the rates that, unfortunately, the poor have to pay. So talk to anybody that works in places that provide food to the poor to tell you that not only is that quadrupling, but higher levels of income people are showing up. So all of this, we haven't even gotten into the political or geopolitical argument. All of this just doesn't bode well. And again, it doesn't help me when I say this. It not only makes you and your wife feel kind of down, but it most people don't want to hear this. But unfortunately, to me anyway, it's a fact of life.
And my guest today is Peter Grandage. If you want to join us, maybe you've got a question, an insight, something that you've seen or heard you want to contribute, here's the number. I'll open the phones at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can get in right now. Just trying to take the temperature of the country. Is a recession looming? U.S., you know, economic growth slow to an annual rate, Peter, as you know, of 1.1% in early 2023, and that triggered a lot of people's fears of a new recession. Why did that number underperform? Why you know, I know our expectations were higher. What happened there?
Well, the big contributor to that was less items being produced, and of course that's because demand is slacking off. But what really the issues that you have to start that are going to come more in focus here is the political issues. We're already starting to see it. I mean, no one could imagine days after the last election that if you said to either side, hey, the other guy that you didn't like, that you're upset that won, or that you're glad that he lost, they're going to be running against each other in 4 years from now. Right. People go, no, you're crazy. There's no way that's going to happen. And it's an indication to me, no matter what side you're on, is how really bad the politics has come.
I know.
And as I've told you for a long period of time now, Drew, and I think most people recognize this, the middle ground has been lost in the country. People really lean one heavy way or the other, and if they are in the middle, it's become not inducive to them to speak out because we get so hammered. We're watching people with one half or 1% of beliefs control and influence and make the 99.5% have to accept the way that they go, and that's just trouble. It can't continue that way.
So, Peter, let me ask you a political question then. You may not even want to answer it. You want to be partisan.
I've always answered any question you ever give me, so why should I stop now?
I'm just wondering. Right now, you may have a Joe Biden-Donald Trump matchup. I mean, that may happen. It may not. Other people are going to throw their hats in. That election's a long way away. But I see rules from the Biden administration that are going to form home buyers with good credit. Better scores to pay higher mortgage rates, which is just insane. I take a look at what's happening with energy in this country. I take a look at the fiscal policies, how much money this administration just wants to spend, and I look at where we are. If we have who's better for the country? Would it be putting Biden back in? And if he's back in, what do you see happening over the next 4 or 5 years? If Trump or a Republican gets in with a little bit more fiscal conservatism, what's that mean for the future? How do you see the next 4 or 5 years playing out, depending on how the pendulum swings in the political arena?
So let me answer you with total honesty. I look at the latest poll. I think Biden is down to only 37% favorable.
Yeah, that's right.
And I literally say to my wife, I don't understand what those 37% see that I don't see. I mean, this has been just a horrible period on all fronts, if you want to really keep score. That doesn't mean that the other guy is phenomenal. I don't want, you know, to go that regard. But just looking at this, I just find it incredible that the people, and those are people that a lot of that 37%, I think we find that people have blinders. You could not have a legitimate discussion, and you can show them a lot of the factors that we just touched on, and I still think they would be adamant and in that regard. Just as there's adamancy for Trump, no matter what he does, is no wrong to certain people. I married the woman. I lived with her for 42 years. Right. That's how she thinks. So it really does. It doesn't bode well that this is what it's coming to. And quite frankly, it's quite hard to conceive that if something would happen with Biden, even before the election.
Oh yeah.
If you want to look at somebody that I shake my head and can't understand how ever could have gotten into the position, it's the vice president. And these are things that people just, you know, some people just say, don't worry about it. You know, go have a good time. No, we're one unfortunately sickness or worse something else to a point of I think total chaos would be in that position. So the political aspect is bad. And then when we shouldn't run out of time, because this is a factor that still most financial advisors are not grasping, and they're not teaching or making their clientele understand how significant it is. And that's what's happening geopolitically around the world. What is happening, not just in Ukraine, but in Taiwan and China, and you and I have been talking for a couple of years now about BRIC nations and the eventual fall of the dollar and what that's going to mean. And it just keeps moving in that direction. That is not good for us. And yet, very little is spent on it, and people say they don't even take it into their accounting when they're investing for the next 3 to 5 or 7 years. And I think that's just going to be another one of the fatal mistakes that the don't worry, be happy crowd that makes up the good majority of financial advisors is missing. And there's nothing I can point to that seems to be moving in the right direction for America right now. This is really important, especially for relevant radio listeners. We must accept, and it's hard for me to accept it, that half of Americans now are either atheists or agnostic.
Yeah.
And the way we think and incorporate and think God first and put God first, half or more of America is not doing that. And Drew, really, that other half, they may be a significant amount of them in name only, whether Protestant or Catholic, but not really deeply involved in their faith. And I think at the end of the day, when we look at all the issues, I could trace back these issues getting to the point that they got into because of this change in this factor. And so I think it's especially critical for people of faith, and that's, you know, I wear it on my sleeve in my business. I think we must have to recognize that, and it has to be calculated, even though you don't like to want to, into what may occur in your finances because the way the world is going. But God told us we're to be in the world, but not of it. But when you're in the world, you still have to think as the world is thinking.
My guest today, Peter Granger. I have him for a few minutes, but if you want to join us, I will go to the phones in just a second. 888-914-9149. Let me try that again. 888-914-9149. You can get in right now. Good time to talk to Peter. Peter, I want to follow up on something you said there, and there's so much to unpack, but I think it was a story today or yesterday, that Argentina is actually shunning the U.S. dollar, that they're going to pay China for imports with their currency. With their currencies, what what is the Chinese currency? The yuan.
Yuan. Drew.
Yeah.
They're not the only ones. We are watching a much major pickup in countries announcing to want to move away from the dollar. Brazil, which is one of the biggest trading partners that we have, is openly courting China. The Middle East, the Saudis, China is over there bringing former enemies together, and the United States is left out. We are on the world stage. The United States isn't even remotely close to where it once was 20 or 30 years ago. And in a world economy, even though globalization as we know it is done, this is very critical and going to impact. And people say, well, how does it impact? Well, just understand this. As fewer countries use the dollar, that means that those dollars that are already out there and those people that used to use dollars, used to then put it in our treasury market, won't be buying our treasuries. Right. So rates won't go down as low as you think they're going to go. And we're going to have more dollars around, which are always inflationary. So these are all things that if you try to have that conversation with a typical advisor, they just don't incorporate it into. And I think that's a terrible mistake for people.
Hey, no kidding. Hey, Peter, you got a minute? I'm going to take a quick break. I want to ask you about something else if we could. It's something that makes no sense to me at all. Maybe you can explain the rationale. The Biden administration, they want to punish good credit home buyers to subsidize high-risk mortgages. And I'm a little worried that we're going to see loans that will bring us back to what we saw in 2008. And what's the logic behind this? How can you punish somebody who's willing to sacrifice, to put more money down, to maintain a good credit score? Well, the administration says it's all about equity. We'll talk about that. I'll grab your calls. I know you're on hold. Our conversation will continue with the Wall Street Whiz Kid right after this. Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
All right, here with Peter Grandage today, the Wall Street Whiz Kid, taking a look at what's happening in the economy, how this is going to impact you and your future. Your bottom line really is important. And I'll go to the phones. We'll grab a couple of your calls. Five time a little bit later, Maggie, my producer, is 1 week away from her wedding day. I guess next Friday's wedding eve. But I want to get some advice from you too. What's the best marriage advice you've ever received, and how does it apply to your marriage? Peter, before you sign off, I'm going to want that out of you, because you've been married a long time. But first, I want your insight, Peter, on this story about Biden punishing good credit home buyers to subsidize high risk, you know, mortgages. I just don't get that. You've got a great credit rating and you're going to have to pay more. If you put a bigger deposit in, you're going to pay more. But somebody with terrible credit and smaller deposit capacity, they get a bigger break. What's the mindset behind that? How do you think that's going to play out? I think it'll probably get repealed. At least I hope it will.
Well, it's a form of socialism, because it's taking from many to supposedly help the unfortunate. That's the thinking behind it. But if you think about it, it's in various areas of the way our society has come in America now. We're a very small minority who may or may not be deserving of what it is, simply gets it because of claiming, you know, whatever they want to claim, racism or unfairness. You know, I've never understood, honestly, and if this causes me never to speak in, I've never understood reparations for something somebody did 150 years ago that I had nothing to do with, that I somehow have to pay a reparation. And this is all the kind of thinking now that a certain party seems to embrace and feel it has to go. And you're right. Yeah. I think it would probably, I certainly don't see the current Congress approving that. But it's, again, a sign of the times. That's the only way I could describe
it. Again, it's the bizarro world that we live in, this alternate universe, this opposite day type of reality that we're in, where those with lower credit scores and smaller down payments qualify for better mortgage rates and discounted fees than those with good scores. I mean, it's like, how does that happen? I just don't get it. I was shocked when I saw that. But this stuff gets presented and it actually gets some legs. Let's take some calls. Jerry's got a question about HELOCs. Jerry in West Covina, California. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Peter, my question is, I'm interested in getting home equity line of credits for, like, real estate. What's your thought about that, given the way these banks are doing now and the way the economy is heading?
I personally would, if it was me myself, I would refrain from getting real exposure in commercial real estate at this point in time. We haven't seen the hit that's clearly coming from small banks having to tighten up and all, and we haven't seen that fall into the typical commercial real estate prices. They're coming down. We're watching some major companies, even like BlackRock, having trouble funding some of their REITs. Those are just areas where I just don't think yet the price has come off enough that it could offer valuations. That's just my view. That doesn't mean that there's certain areas that can still do well and all, but overall, I personally just wouldn't want to be really invested in commercial real estate at this point. I think in several months from now, or a year or two, I think there'll be better opportunities.
All right. Jerry, thanks. Good talking to you. Appreciate it. Michelle's in Silver Spring, Maryland. She's got a question for you. Peter, hi, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a little bit or a lot less informed than your average citizen, but I have this a friend who was speaking to me about this, if I say it right, central bank digital currency. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, she's very concerned about it, and I was just wondering, what was your take on it and how
Michelle, that's a great question. We had a conversation on digital currency a little bit earlier. I think this week or last week we had somebody on. You can go back to the podcast and check that out. We had a long conversation. It's well worth listening to. But, Peter, I'd love your take on it. Should we be concerned about it?
I'd be very concerned about it. The reasons they're given to us versus what it's actually going to do, I think, has great separation in it. I think there's a lot of reasons. This isn't just another form of the government being able to take control and also influence what people can and can't do. Freedom in America, whether it's freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of thought, that's all. I don't know if the current generation's even read the Bill of Rights. It's certainly not what the founding fathers had wanted to, but it's not just limited here in the United States. These is major countries around the world are going this way because it gives the government more control over people, not less control.
It's a concern. And by the way, the date of that conversation, Michelle, if you want to go listen to it, it was Wednesday the 19th, hour one. We talked about cyber currencies, digital currencies. Shannon in St. Paul, Minnesota, good afternoon.
Hello. First of all, I was on hold for St. Therese. You're going to get an email on my miracle.
God, I can't wait. I love it. Look for it.
Okay. My question is, how should we prepare for the possibility of the dollar no longer being a reserve currency? We asked our financial planner, and they said, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing it's not going to happen, too. A lot of the experts, Peter, saying that's not going to happen. The U.S. is the currency, and, you know.
I am certain during Great Britain's, as it started to decline in Portugal and Rome, there was people saying that it's not going to happen. But unfortunately, it is happening. All you have to look at is where we were 5 or 10 years ago when countries had almost 86% of money in U.S. dollars. And now it's lost a third of that. And we're openly seeing countries, including our biggest competitor, China, being able to swoon other countries to leave the dollar system, whether or not they just simply trade away from the dollar or create a new currency or a combination of both, that is happening. So anybody that says, I don't think it can happen, I don't think is keeping open an eye to what we're actually seeing taking place. How to prepare for it is, there isn't much you can do on the small end other than the fact that to understand that if it does happen, we're likely to see higher rates of inflation. And we're also going to see people who have invested maybe overseas not do as well because now the dollar will have been weakened. I'll just tell you this. There's only one way of having no one else's liability, and that's physical ownership of gold. I'm not telling you to do that, but even treasuries are liabilities of a country. And I think one of the things people and one of the reasons why gold has risen is people recognizing this. They don't want to have anybody else's liability. They want to have something that has a liability to nobody. And I would say that would be the one thing that I find most people don't have any ownership in, to have something in. It's just like buying insurance. You don't want your house burning. You don't want your car stolen. But if it does, then hopefully some ownership of that will offset the losses that you may have in paper assets.
All right. There you have it, Sharon. Shannon, thank you
all
very
right.
much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. I think it's important.
So can I give Maggie my advice now?
No. One more call. How about one more call or two more calls for you? We can take a few more. Then we'll give Maggie your advice. I've got advice, too, for Maggie, but we'll hear what everybody's got to say. Montana is up next. John is on deck. Hi, John.
Hi, Drew. My question, I'll try to be very quick with this, is I have about 8% of my IRAs in a gold mutual fund, but I'm wondering about the security of that versus physical gold. If you could answer that and tell me whether I should get into physical gold instead of a mutual fund, I'd appreciate it.
A good question.
Well, if possession is 9/10 the law and concerns of ability for having ownership of it, then the only answer is for you to be physical. I don't think we're ever going to get to the date where physical gold ownership is the only thing that's going to save your life, because if things become that bad, the people that don't have it are going to try to get it from the people that do have it. So, but I do sense that if you are concerned, physical bullion is always better than a proxy, which is just paper ownership.
All right. There you go, John.
Yeah. Just to follow up on that. So, and I know it costs more to trade physical gold, and it's relatively little to do it with a mutual fund. But But what I worry about is the fact that, like you say, it invested in a company that mines and owns the gold for you. So,
well, I'll just tell you this. You should never have an investment if it causes worry, period, whatever it is. So if you're worried about it, that's not worth having. So, you know, maybe sometimes it's better not to have anything than something that causes you to worry.
All right. Hey, thank you, John, for the call. I know we only have a few minutes left. I'll take one last call, Peter, and then let's talk to Maggie. Kathy's been waiting a long time in Park Ridge, Illinois. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Peter. I have this question. If I can take out my annuity, say it's $17,000, and I have $14,000 in credit card debt, would your advice be to take that money, pay off the credit card debt, and go from there?
Well, my advice always to people that had carried credit card debt is when you look at the rate that you're paying, and some people now are paying 20, 22, 25%, you can't really make that standardly in general investments. The stock market, for all as great it's been, has averaged less than 10% for over 100 years. So if you can pay off that and not have to pay that interest, that in a sense is making that you're investing at that rate. So, and again, there's a sense of peace that comes from having less or no debt. And you can't appreciate it until you're at that point. And I always say this again, there's no verse anywhere in the manual of life, the Bible, that's positive on debt. In fact, God spends a lot of time inspiring writers to talk about the negatives of debt. So I've never been a fan of it, and I always argued, and Drew knows this, that having less is more attitude is the way to go, especially as Catholic Christians that we are.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Well, Peter, let's talk marriage advice. First of all, how long have you been married?
I just celebrated 42 years, and the wife has been telling everybody it's been 21 years of the best of her life. So I figured batting 500 for a man is not that bad.
That's awesome. That's hilarious. Well, 40 plus years, that's a long time. You're closing in on a half a century soon, Peter. It'll be great. Maggie's getting married. She found her spouse, her future spouse, in her early 30s, and she's ready to start her journey. Did anybody give you advice, or what's one of the big lessons, Peter, that you learned over those 40-some years that you would share with her?
I married, my wife was born and raised in Ireland. I have no Irish background, but I got married in Ireland. And I got married at a time in Ireland when it was still a strong, spiritually led country, which it is not anymore. But one of the things I learned out of that was, because my wife brought it into the marriage, where I was really a C&E Catholic. I was Christmas and Easter, and that was about it. I think our faith is the most critical point to the marriage. And it's being challenged in every other direction, including in marriage. So knowing Maggie's already, you know, working Relevant Radio, and she loves the Lord, it's very, very important to solidify ourselves in that, because that's going to be the biggest challenge, especially for the younger generation now, because people are moving so much away from our faith. But the other thing I wanted to tell her is this. Don't go to bed angry, if at all possible.
Good advice.
And don't count to 10 when your husband gets you upset. Count to 100.
That's the best advice.
Oh, my gosh.
And
you'll see how more, I'm sorry, how less whatever bothers you, by the time you get to about 80 or 90 on that count, it shouldn't bother you as much as it did at 8 or 9.
That's awesome. That's great advice. Peter, let me ask you one other follow-up question to marital advice here, too. Maggie, I don't know how you're going to deal with it. I know your own husband, or future husband, will be involved in investments. Peter, do you think, you know, you have two different couples who have their own bank accounts. They're getting married. Like, if you get married young, you kind of build your financial future together. But if you're bringing some assets or some wealth into the relationship, some couples, everybody handles it a little bit differently. You know, some join their finances. You have one bank account. Everything comes out of. Some have their own little accounts. Have you seen issues with that? I mean, how do you think that should work? Because I know, like,
we have it all the time in our planning business and all, especially when people are getting married for the second time. You know, if they've been divorced or what have you, they very leery about, especially if one seems to have most of the assets of the other. It's not necessarily always the man, and people signing prenuptials and things of that nature and all. That's always a hard call because our fate teaches us to put our trust in God, not our finances.
Yeah.
If our trust is in God, our finances and everything else around it will be taken care of and all. And let me just add one quick thing, because you talked about you having your next fundraiser.
Sure.
I just want to tell your listeners, they need to read Malachi. We as Catholics do not tithe in a manner that we're called upon to do. And it is so critical now for places like Relevant Radio and all to be supported and to be tithed. And so I would encourage, especially anyone that has listened to me and somehow has profited from it, that you would show that by, you know, supporting Relevant Radio. Because, Drew, what we just discussed, we could never talk on a regular financial network, even if they gave us the time about that.
Right.
But I believe you know that it's absolutely critical. And the only hope we have for finances is following what God taught us about us, not what Peter or some guy that rings bells on a TV show teaches us.
That's so well. So, Peter, thank you. Thanks for your witness, for your openness, your humility, and your expertise. Always great to talk with you.
Thank you, and God bless, Maggie. Next time I'll speak to you, you'll be married.
It will.
She'll be Miss Carosa. Mrs. Carosa
That's
now.
That's true, yeah.
Like all right.
Best, Maggie. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you, Peter. God
That's
bless
Peter
you.
Grandage. Check out his story if you find him to be an interesting voice. His book is called Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid, highly endorsed. It's a great story. It's a true story. And you can tap into his genius by going to his website, Peter Grandage & Company. He provides guidance on matters of finance through that company. And his website is, or his email, you can email him too. I think it's, I won't give you the email. You can sign up for his email. Just check out his website, petergrandage.com. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back on the other side, I'd love to hear from you. What is the best marital advice you've ever received? I've got Lauren in the studio. She's one of our engineers, and Maggie, both getting married. Nick, who is the producer on Father Simon's show as well, getting married. A lot of people here getting married at Relevant Radio. What advice would you give to them that may help them on, the journey of their life? That and much more coming up. I'll share my thoughts. My producer, Tom Siskevich. Tom, how long have you been married? How long have you been in this?
Been married for 37 years.
37 years. So we'll get your advice too. All right. Stay with us. Our conversation, let me try that one more time. I'm having real trouble getting through these final moments here. That conversation will continue right after this. You can get in now. Call now 888-914-9149.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
If you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
Sun is shining, dogwoods are coming in blue. Put on your white dress, yeah, cause a baby, it's a good day for marrying you. I call my mama and daddy, baby, you call yours too. Put on your white dress, yeah, cause a baby, it's a good day for marrying you.
Yeah, that was my producer Tom's wedding song, and he.
No.
That's funny.
Wasn't around when I got married.
And my producer Tom Siskevich is in here. My right hand, Maggie here as well. My left hand, the two of them together, keep me upright all day. Can't do it without either of them. And that's funny. That's a good rejoin, Maggie. It's good to have you here. Lauren, our engineer, is listening, too. She's getting married.
She is.
We should hear her story. We should say a prayer for her. Should we tell her story? I don't know if we should do that or not. Lauren, do you want to talk about your wedding dress and what happened?
She can't hear you. Hold on.
Well, go ahead. You can tell her. Tell her. I always say a prayer for this girl. You know how expensive weddings can get, right? It's really, really quite prohibitive for some people. She actually... needs your prayer because I think she's been scammed, and this is horrible.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a tough situation. There's been a little bit of dodginess, like not clear communication. Also just finding out some things about other people not receiving dresses and seeing some recent reviews being not so favorable. So, yeah, I definitely need some prayers.
So you put money down on your dress, right? Mm-hmm. You expected to get it, and now all of a sudden the storefront disappeared and nobody's there?
The storefront didn't disappear, but there's a lot of just, like, not telling me when the dress actually came in And
but you don't have your dress, right?
No, I don't
you
have my dress.
Been fitted.
It's... No, and the fitting was supposed. Well, the fitting. Yeah. That the seller scheduled was for a month before my wedding, which is way too late. So.
Oh man. Well,
yeah.
I hope it's not a scam for your
me
part.
Too.
So say a prayer for Lauren. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, it's a big financial burden. Do you put a lot of money down on it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Oh, well. I guess you'll have to wear something else.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Everything will work out,
it's
right?
It's going to work out. We're going to we'll pray that somehow gets resolved.
Yeah. Thank goodness it's about the sacrament, not the dress, right?
Yeah, it is. And you've got such a great attitude towards it. I mean, when you told me about it yesterday, I promised I'd pray for you. And God has a way of working things out. I mean, there's unexpected blessings that come your way. There's maybe something even more perfect for you. So, yeah. Well, hang in there, Lauren. All right.
Thank you.
Let us know how it shakes out. Maggie, we only have a few minutes. I'm going to take a few calls. There's some people who got some great advice for you. But first, Tom, let me throw to you. Best advice you were given for your marriage or
nobody ever gave me any advice. Nobody ever gave me any advice for marriage. But... I mean, if I'm going to offer any, I think I'm going to reemphasize what Peter said. Never go to bed angry with each other.
That's good advice.
That's very good advice.
Yeah.
You know, just keep forgiveness as an uppermost priority in the relationship.
I heard someone say that a good marriage, it consists of two people who really know how to forgive each other well.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, you worked on a tribunal, right? For annulments, right?
Yes, I did. Yep.
So you've seen a lot of dysfunction come through the door.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the big problem? Lack of forgiveness, lack of communication? What do you see? Because I think we have a problem on this conveyor belt called marriage. You know, on the front end, I think we need better formation. Because on the back end, we get all these people... you know, getting divorced and wanting annulment. So I think if we understood the sacramentality of it and they were well-formed and they had the right psychological principles, I think things would work a lot differently. You'd see a lot less coming off that conveyor belt.
Yes, yeah, that's very true. You know, the things that I saw were, you know, there's infidelity. There was financial infidelity.
Yeah.
There was there are just two people who, they just didn't really feel married.
Yeah, so they went out. Wow.
And, you know, yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know how that can, how that can be. You know, and it, I mean, a lot of it is a lack of formation. And not understanding the sacramentality.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's something, Maggie, that, you know, if you and Joe can understand that this is meant for your salvation, it's a means to salvation, which, you know, you don't hear that
it's a vocation.
In the anywhere, not, you know, not even in the church very often, unfortunately, but it is a means, it is supposed to be a means towards your salvation.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, and, you know, so there is a real, you know, it's like the Eucharist. And in fact, Cardinal Burke has a fantastic quote: outside of the Holy Eucharist, there is nothing that can help, that can, is, will change the world than a man and woman in marriage.
Wow, that's powerful.
It is a reflection of the Trinity, really.
Yes.
Let's take a few calls. We have a few moments. Luke is in Burnsville, Minnesota. Hi, Luke. Good afternoon.
Well, hi there. Hey, my wife and I used to do engagement work with couples, engaged couples. Right. And the very first meeting, I'd ask each of them how they knew that their partner was the right one for them. And it was fun to listen to the men say, well, look at how beautiful she is. And she said, well, he listens to me. And I'd say, that's all very nice, but I don't want to be argumentative. But I think the reason that he's the right one for you is because you say so. Wow. And the reason she's the one for you is because you say so. And what you need to do every day is say so, and then it will be so.
Wow. I love
that. Beautiful.
That's good.
Well, thank you for doing that. Thanks for your marriage prep. We need good counselors and good people giving good advice. God bless you. It's a great question, too. I mean, maybe you should ask yourself that as you're getting married. Why is this person right for me? You know, do you believe in soulmates? Yes or no? I mean, not really or yes?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think that like, has a very this, that has a very soulmate, like right. secular yeah, right. notion to it. But I do
although I do believe God has somebody. In, I mean, was Joe created for you, Maggie? Was he created to be your husband?
I would say so.
And you for him, right?
Yeah.
My wife's perfect for me. I mean, I know that much. So it's interesting. Does God have somebody in store for us, and somebody who's supposed to walk that journey? What do you think?
That's a difficult question, I think, because I think that there are some people who naturally do that.
Yep.
And then there are others who you get married and it takes work.
No kidding. Steve in Farmington, New Mexico. You got less than a minute. I'm going to let you jump in here real quick.
Just real quick, the best advice I can give you for a happy marriage is to always be a good listener. And I had a friend of mine one time tell me they used to say happy wife, happy life, but I really like the saying that says, happy spouse, happy house.
I love that.
Is great, Steve. That's I love it, too.
Terrific.
All right, you got the guys back, too. I like it. Happy wife, happy life, happy spouse, happy house.
Love it.
That's great advice. Well, Maggie, we'll talk more. We'll get more advice for you next week. I'm out of time for the day. Cale Clark is coming straight up. Stay tuned for him. Always a fun and informative show. And, of course, looking forward to being back with you here again on Monday. Tom, thanks for all that you do. Maggie, thanks for what you do. Lauren, we're praying for you. And until next time, please pray for me, okay? Have a great night. May God bless you.